Thank you. Amen. Let me just remind you that life groups begin once again tonight, and so if you're a part of a life group, be there. What do I hear, Alan? I hear strange noises coming. Is it a jet overhead or is it something underneath? It doesn't matter. Nobody else hears it, then it could just be my medication kicking in. All right. But life groups are tonight at... Sunday night life, if you're not part of one of the other small groups that meet around the city, we meet here on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about some proverbial wisdom for tonight. And so hope you'll come and be a part of that. You can hear that, can't you, Alan? Okay. You hear that? Okay, good. I'm going to have to see an audiologist or something. I'm just checking. That's tonight. We started last Wednesday night was our thank you. We started last Wednesday night with our new community service and 50 almost 50 people or something in there. If you are the target is under 40, if you like the worship if you like it calmer than this morning, well, then you want to be in here with me on Wednesday night, because we do old songs and Southern gospel stuff in here, and we're finishing up a study of the book of Job. But if you like worship more like this morning or a little edgier than that, then that's where you ought to go on Wednesday night. And there's something for your kids and for youth, and it'll be noisier. And Pastor Brian, of course, will be out this Wednesday, but Pastor Sarah Taylor is going to be preaching in there Wednesday night, and so be a part of that. There's a place for you. Let me encourage some of you young couples that have got infants, get in the habit now. Bring your kid to the nursery, bring them to the art park, and be in there Wednesday night, and then you just kind of grow up in that culture of having your kids here and participating in youth and everything else. So I encourage you to be a part of that. One other thing, this is you that are voting members of the church. This is the time of nominating deacons. We'll have two new deacons coming up in 2014. I want to encourage you to participate in this process with us, to nominate those that you feel like God is raising up to serve in leadership for a three-year period. And I'd like to encourage you to think about some younger men. The board wanted to be intentional about looking at some younger guys, 20, 30, 40 age, because while some older guys are on the board, we want to be able to mentor some younger men. So look, and maybe there's people in your life group or your Sunday school class, you think, you know what, those folk are godly people, and that's someone that ought to be on the board. And so pray about that. There's a box out there at the information desk on this side that you can drop the nomination in, and please participate with us in that. I think that's what I needed to tell you so I can get on to important stuff. Well, welcome to the first Sunday. We thought last Sunday we had a great day planned, had a sermon, and we were going to have Sunday night was going to be a great time of worship and communion and stuff. It was going to be a great day, and then the ice came. And actually, before the ice came, some kind of virus came to my house, and with a headache that was exploding and nausea in waves and all that. And so I wasn't going to be here last Sunday anyway, it turned out, by Saturday afternoon. And I got to tell you, I was so sick, and all night long I kept thinking, yeah, welcome to the year of laughter, 2014. There's nothing funny about this, I got to tell you, because, man, I hope nobody else gets what I had. I usually take a couple of Sundays, and we're going to move along pretty quickly here, but I usually take a couple of Sundays in January to kind of help us focus on the new year and to point us in a path, kind of a direction for us, and I want to do that. Also, the past two or three or four years, I've kind of made some predictions about the coming year or kind of said, here's some things you might want to watch for in the coming year, and so let me kind of quickly do that. I look back to see what I said last January. It's interesting how quickly things have changed, how far the pendulum has swung. I talked last year about the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and President, the role of President Morsi, and now Morsi's under house arrest and probably facing trial. The reigning government has actually outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood, declared them a terrorist organization. I would tell you that the last chapter has not been written on any of that, and the Muslim Brotherhood's not going anywhere, so watch to see what happens there in Egypt, and continue to pray for the church there in Egypt. It's a difficult time for them, regardless of who's in power. Last January, I had commented about Russia's President Putin, and it's interesting. I said that he would kind of continue to be a bully to some. It's been interesting that he's tried to portray himself as a broker of peace and a deal maker to some extent in Syria and in Iran and other places. And I would tell you that his skill at making deals should be a cause for concern for the United States and for Israel. And it will be worth watching to see what strange bedfellows Putin ends up in bed with this year. That you should watch for growing alliances with Russia. Anybody allying themselves with Russia is cause perhaps for concern in terms of biblical prophecy and some of those things. All the while, as Putin's stock has seemed to kind of rise in the country, America's role as a world power seems to have diminished. Iran has grown strangely silent, which to me is cause for further alarm. And don't be deceived, nothing has changed in Iran. Regardless of the fact there's a new president, President Rouhani, he's toned down that extreme public rhetoric that was Ahmadinejad was so known for, but I think they are just as dangerous as ever, and there's no such thing as a peaceful nuclear Iran, I don't think, and we're not fooled by that. China continues to kind of exercise economic and military muscle. We'll see more evidence of that. North Korea's leader remains as unstable and as unpredictable as ever. I really think he and Dennis Rodman deserve each other. But there are changes coming. Why, thank you for a smattering of applause. There are changes coming in the European Union. I think there'll be continued unrest, and I think there'll be even violent protest in some European countries over immigration, inflation, and Islam, and the Islamization of their culture. America continues on its little moral slide. Tolerance as a virtue is now held higher than truth or righteousness or common sense. And it's not a question for us in the church of will same-sex marriage become the law of the land and will churches be forced to perform same-sex ceremonies, but simply when or what will be the penalty for refusing. The Bible tells us that Romans 8 tells us all of creation is groaning for redemption. And we'll continue to see evidence of that even in the planet itself. We've already seen extreme weather patterns, once again, record-breaking patterns and temperatures and all those things. Earthquakes and volcanoes and man-made and natural disasters, they're all part of the signs of this planet groaning for redemption, groaning for something to happen. And we could talk more about that maybe some other day. Well, with all those happy, cheerful thoughts, welcome to 2014. We describe Carbondale as a place of healing, hope, laughter, and peace. You've heard that a few times this morning. We decided a couple of years ago to use that statement as a basis for a yearly emphasis in the church, at least for a four-year period. And so 2012 was a year of healing. 2013 was a year of hope. And we geared messages toward that, outreaches, a day of hope, and all those things. Well, this is the year of laughter, 2014. And you're already thinking, well, what's there to laugh about? Nothing seems too funny in the face of everything that's going on in the world, and you're right. But let me give you a few thoughts about with this idea of laughter. I'm not talking about telling jokes. I'm not talking about coming in every Sunday and we're going to, you know, did you hear the one about? We don't do that. I'm not talking about laughing foolishly with no regard to the circumstances we face. We're just 12 days into 2014, and already, you know, we're 12 days too far to be naive about what's going on. There have already been tears and heartbreaks. There's already been disappointments and betrayal and goodbyes. And we're just talking about the state government in New Jersey with Governor Christie. There's already trouble when we look around. And so we've already experienced it. We're choosing. I suddenly felt like Jay Leno there for just a minute, you know. Well, welcome to 2014. It's going to be quite a year, ladies and gentlemen. But here's the thing. We're not trying to dismiss. It's not a foolish dismissal of reality. We're talking about choosing joy in spite of whatever bad days there might be. We're choosing to celebrate who we are in Christ regardless of the circumstances. We're choosing to rejoice in God's faithfulness. We're choosing to laugh because of what we know. We rest in the promises of God. We're talking about what the Bible calls a merry heart. The Bible says a merry heart, or some translations say laughter does the heart good like a medicine. And we're talking about laughter and joy based not upon what we see, but upon what we know. The songwriter said, speaking of that kind of joy, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. It's joy that flows not out of our circumstances, but out of the resident, abiding presence of Christ in our lives. We have joy because of what we know. We have joy because of who has redeemed us and given us life. That's the basis of joy. That's how we can face the future with laughter or with joy or with rejoicing and celebrating. We're talking about joy and laughter that comes from the settledness in knowing that God is in control and sovereign over all. It's joy based upon the knowledge that God's Word is forever settled in heaven and cannot fail. Psalm 119 says, "Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." So how can I laugh and have joy when all these things are happening around me? Because the Bible says that God causes all things to work together for our good because we love Him and we're called according to His purpose. We can laugh in the face of all of it, but because no, we know the Bible says that in Him all things hold together. He's holding it all together and He's holding us. And He has supremacy over all things. You can read it in Colossians chapter 1. In everything, He's in control. I can laugh because I know He promised to never leave me and never forsake me. I know the plans He has for me. They're plans to prosper us and to give us hope and a future. And so we can look at the future and rejoice knowing that God's up to something good. We can celebrate and rejoice because of what we know. I read the passage in Proverbs 31. It's that passage most of you are familiar with about a wife of noble character. And I read it a couple weeks ago and was thinking about it. We use it often, preachers use it often on Mother's Day or at a funeral perhaps for a godly woman. But I read it this week in a different way than I'd ever read it. I read it thinking about the church as the bride of Christ. And that Proverbs 31 calls that bride, that wife of noble character, and for us it would be, it calls the church then, to a level of excellence and preparedness that's worth considering. But in light of this sermon today, one thing kind of stood out to me in verse 25. It said of this bride of noble character that she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. I thought about the church. I'm worried that perhaps we, the church in America, have failed to clothe ourselves with much strength and dignity, and we can work on that. But that wife of noble character could laugh at the days to come because of her strength and dignity, because she had prepared herself for what was to come. If you read the chapter, you see that she had already been up and already been at work and had everything taken care of and clothed their family and fed them and had warm clothes for them for the winter and all those things so she could face the future because she was prepared. Well, I want to suggest a couple of things this morning in a couple of levels or layers here to try to make sense out of all this. But to understand as we face the future and as we move into this year, and I'm saying we're going to make it a year of celebrating and laughing and rejoicing, we can do that based upon what we know. And so understand this. First of all, this year of laughter is based upon three things in particular: outlook, knowledge, and trust. You see, the only way we can laugh and rejoice this year is if we have the right outlook. And our outlook is that of a born-again believer. Our outlook is that, or at least that's what it should be. Our outlook is that of a Christian who walks in faith, not by sight, but by faith. Jesus told us what our outlook should be. He said, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Our outlook is not that of everybody else on the planet. We're not dreading doomsday. We're not ducking our heads in fear. We're being presented with an extraordinary opportunity to be light in an ever-darkening world. And as the world grows darker, the church should stand up. We're not hiding our light, but we need to stand up and stand for something. We need to stand up and let that light begin to shine. The question is, as the world grows darker and the culture grows darker and more pressure, are we going to be the bearers of God's truth or will we surrender to the pressures of the culture? There's a program, I guess, about preppers or whatever, and people talk about that, preparing for the end of the world and stockpiling guns and ammo and food and water and all those things. But our outlook says, it's not just about preparing for the end of the world. Our outlook says, prepare to be the bold church of the living God. Prepare to advance the kingdom of God to the uttermost parts of the earth. Advance and prepare to give to others the love of Jesus Christ, to share that good news, what we know about God and about His Word and about salvation and redemption. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. You see, we're not preparing for death and destruction. We're anticipating redemption and liberation. And the whole planet is groaning for and longing for redemption. But our outlook is different from those who don't know Christ. We're preparing for something else because we have a different outlook. Jesus said men's hearts will fail them for fear when they see these terrible things happening on the planet. But the heart of the believer doesn't fail. Instead, the heart of a believer is drawn to greater faith and greater trust in the Lord because we see God's Word being fulfilled. When we look around, we're saying, you know what, I'm trusting the God because I see the book being fulfilled every day. I see the Bible coming alive in the Middle East and places around the world. I see God's faithfulness, and so God's up to something, and our outlook allows us to laugh and rejoice and celebrate even in the face of difficult days. And then secondly, we can laugh at the days to come because of knowledge of God's Word. I said a minute ago, our hearts don't fail because we see God's Word being fulfilled. But if you don't know what the Bible says, then you can't rejoice because you don't know what's going on. You don't know that's all part of God's plan and purpose. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to take place, then because you know God's Word, He said, then you'll know what to do. You'll know to stand up and lift up your head because it means redemption is drawing nigh. It means because something is about to happen. He's given us knowledge and understanding in His Word to recognize the signs. But in order to recognize the signs, you have to know God's Word. Jesus grew up around the Sea of Galilee and raised in Nazareth, but then moved to Capernaum right on the sea, and Bethsaida and some of the other areas right there on the sea. There were fishing ports there. Fishing was a big industry. And so everybody was in a boat, in and out. Jesus taught from a boat, crossed the Sea of Galilee many times. And so He was familiar. He knew about the sea. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, He spoke about the signs. He said, when you see this sign, a red sky means whatever, and this means this, and whatever. I don't know any of that stuff, so I'm no good on the sea. But Jesus was familiar with it, so He could say, because you have knowledge, you know what the signs are. You know when it means fair weather, when it means storms. He grew up in an agrarian society. There were farmers, and they were growing figs and olives and other things to eat there. And so Jesus said, oh, look, here's a fig tree. You are farmers. You understand because you have knowledge. You understand what the signs mean. When you see this sign, when you see the budding of the fig tree, you know what season it is. You know what time of year it is. You know when to plant or when to harvest based on your knowledge. And that's what He's telling us. He's given us His Word so that we can read the signs. He's given us knowledge so we can understand where we are in the grand scheme of things, where we are on God's timeline. We can know how to live and what we should do, but in order to do that, we have to know His Word. We have to know the Word of God. We can laugh in the face of the future because of outlook as born-again believers. We can do it because of our knowledge, and we do it because our trust is in the Lord. We don't have to be afraid. As I said a moment ago, He's the one in whom all things hold together. He's at work in our life, causing all things to work for our good. We have no cause for fear. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we lean not to our own understanding. Proverbs 3 says that. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and the writer said, and He will make your paths straight. Our outlook, our knowledge, our willingness to trust are all based on God's revelation to us, and He desires to continue to reveal Himself to us. But how's that going to happen in the coming year? Well, remember that wife of noble character in Proverbs 31. Again, I said the reason she could laugh at the future is because she was prepared. She had done the work. She didn't have to worry about where's my family going to find something to eat? She had food there. Are they going to have clothing for the winter? She had clothes already made. She had prepared. And again, if you want to stockpile, I went into a store in Branson the other day, and they were selling meals ready to eat, MREs and little packets of water and all the camo stuff, and they had a lot of stuff. Anyway, some strange stuff and some kind of interesting stuff. And so I think it's okay. Sure, why not have some food and water, whatever. Have weapons if you want to. I don't have a bunch stockpiled, but if you want to have all that, just let me know you got it so I'll know to head over to your house when the zombie apocalypse happens or whatever it is that's coming, and I'll know where to get to. Preferably, I'd like you to have cattle in the backyard. I'd like to have steak instead of powdered whatever is coming out of those. I'm telling you, the thought of, I just got to be honest, all right? To look at a big old can and it says, you know, dried, just add water, and it's Salisbury steak, and I'm thinking, I hope I die in the first wave of whatever it is coming, as opposed to trying to reconstitute Salisbury steak out of a big tub or something. So I don't know. Anyway, that's just me. Sorry. Okay. Well, where were we? We're preparing our hearts, right? So, again, I'm not talking about preparing by, you know, buying all that stuff, you know, good for you, and you can do that. That's up to you. But I'm talking about preparing our hearts. I'm talking about preparing our hearts to be able to see and hear what God is saying to us. Let's prepare our hearts for that continued revelation of Himself and His nature to us. We're preparing our hearts to continue to be able to walk in obedience to the Lord. If God desires to reveal Himself to us and reveal His ways to us, then I want to make sure my heart is prepared so I'm listening to what He has to say, that I'm tuned into that frequency. So whatever it is God wants to reveal to me, I'm ready to receive it. I'm ready to hear it, to listen and to receive everything He desires of me. So I want to just real quickly share with you just four the basics, all right? These are the most basic things we need to do to be prepared for whatever may come in 2014. It doesn't get any more basic than this. First of all, we got to pray. The church was born out of a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, they were assembled there and they were praying. You got to pray. If we're going to be able to find our way in 2014, it'll require us to pray. If God is revealing Himself and His plans and His purpose to us, then we need to be listening and we need to be communicating with Him. That's what prayer is, talking and listening to what God has to say. We need to pray. That's the bedrock. It's bottom line. We have to pray. Brother McQueen used to say, he was the pastor before me, he used to say, you can run a bank without money easier than you can run a church without prayer. And I can hear him say it today. It's still the truth. You can run a bank without money easier than you can run a church without prayer. Prayer oils everything and greases everything. It keeps the wheels turning. When we stop praying, we'll stop having answers. When we stop praying, we'll stop having birth. We'll stop having God's blessing. When we stop praying, we're going to be in trouble. As a church, as the bride of Christ, we'll be weak and tired and powerless and unprepared if we aren't bathing everything in prayer. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not, what? Faint. Yeah. If we don't pray, we're going to faint. We'll be too weak. If we don't pray, then the food we eat won't settle quite right. If we don't pray, we won't have the strength to carry on. He said, you've got to pray or you'll faint. Folks, this is no time to be fainting. If you faint now, you're liable to get trampled in 2014. Don't faint. Pray. It's the answer for us. I want to encourage us to make 2014 a year of prayer. I challenge you to pray. Now, however you want to do that, if that's to set aside a time in the morning or in the afternoon or evening to pray, I hope you'll set aside some special seasons of prayer throughout the year. Maybe you can take a Saturday afternoon to pray, or maybe all of us need to walk, so get out and take a walk and walk in your neighborhood and pray as you walk, or pray for your neighbors and your families. Pray for the church. Pray for God's blessing. Pray for whatever, but we need to pray. Make part of that prayer time worship and praise to the Lord. Make part of it intercession as you pray for others. Make part of it making your petitions known to the Lord, and make part of it a time when you can just be quiet and listen to the voice of the Lord, to see if He has something to say to you. But folks, we need to pray. Second thing, just as basic, we have to read God's Word. If we're going to be able to withstand all that the enemy may throw at us in 2014, we have to know what God's Word says. If we're going to be prepared and equipped like the bride of Christ should be, we have to know what the Bible says. Now listen to me this morning. Too many people, even in the church, are starting to take our cues from the world as to how we're to live, how we behave, how we talk, how we dress. Are you listening to me? How we dress, our conversation, how we raise our children, what we love, what we hate, what we run from, rather than building our lives and basing our choices upon God's Word. If we're going to build a life, we need to have the right plans, the right pattern to follow. And folks, the Word of God has a blueprint for our lives. He tells us how to live. Follow it and will know the peace and the blessings of God. Reject it and you find the way to be hard. The Bible says the way of a transgressor, and he's talking about those who transgress against God's word, the way of the transgressor is hard. But the way of the righteous grows brighter, and God's blessing is upon that way. So let me ask you, what does the Bible say? I know what the world says. What does the Bible say? I know what your buddies say at work. I know what they say about relationships. I know what your friends say at work about sex. All right, let's talk about sex a minute. I know what your buddies say. I know what the girls, you know, the friends at the ladies at the job have to say about it. I know what the 8th and 9th grade guys and girls have to say about sex. All right? And so do the 7th and 8th and 9th grade kids that are here this morning. But what's the Bible say about it? What's the Bible say about it? Right? It's not just what TV says about it. It's not just what the world says about it. It's not just what your friend says, because none of that matters. All that's probably just going to get you in trouble. What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say about it? That's where we have to start. And it's not for teenagers. It's for everybody. What does the Bible say about sex? What does the Bible say about divorce? What does the Bible say about adultery? What does the Bible say about homosexuality, really? What does it say about living together before marriage or without marriage? Not what our culture says about it. What does God say about it? What's the Bible say about employer-employee relationships? What does the Bible say about honesty, about telling the truth, not lying? What does the Bible say about gossip? Ooh. What does the Bible say about stealing? What's the Bible say about little white lies? Does it say anything about that? What's the Bible say about gambling? Casinos. Hey, casinos. What does the Bible say about laziness? What does the Bible say about gluttony? Oh. What does the Bible say about vanity? What does it say about idolatry? What does it say about psychics and psychic readings and horoscopes? What does the Bible say about death and dying and heaven and hell? Do you want to know? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Because all those answers are in here. Study God's Word. Yeah. You don't have to Google it. You can get an app for it right on your phone or whatever. What should, you know, don't ask Abby. Abby doesn't know. She's dead. She and Ann both are dead, all right? Some of you don't know who that is, but it's okay. It was a newspaper thing, you know, ink and whatnot. Listen to what I'm telling you. There's a lot of things that the world has decided to embrace, that the church has decided to excuse, that God still says it's a sin, it'll destroy you, and you'll end up in hell because of it. And that's the truth. And we need to know it. And we need to find out what that is. If we don't know what God's Word says, we may be reading along someday and suddenly go, you mean I've been living in a way that God says He can't honor? Honey, right here's the problem. This is what the Bible says about how we're living. We can't do this anymore. I remember a young couple coming in to me. She had gotten saved and came to church, and she brought him in. They were living together, hadn't been married, and she came in and they wanted to talk to me, and she said, I gave my heart to Jesus. I've been reading the Word of God, and the Bible's telling me that I'm not supposed to be living with my boyfriend here and not being married. Isn't that right? And I said, well, that's what the Bible says. And she said, then I don't want to do something that's displeasing to God, that dishonors God. I got to get this right. And so she said, will you marry us? And I said, well, yeah, I can do that. And it was going to take a few days. And she said, he doesn't have any place to stay. And she said, would it be okay if he just stays in the house, but he sleeps in another bedroom, and we're not going to sleep together until we get married? And I said, I think that'll be all right. And I said, are you okay with this? And he said, yeah, I'm okay. And then he said, she's accepted Jesus, and after we get married, he said, are there going to be any more surprises like this? Maybe not from the Bible, but buddy, there's going to be some surprises. But it's an adventure. I'm telling you. Just throw your hands up and woo, here we go. But hear me again, folks. We got to know what the Bible says. I challenge you to make 2014 a year of reading God's Word. Study it. Study it. Read it faithfully. Read it and write down those passages that speak to your heart. Mark them in your Bible. Read it and write down the questions you have. Don't just read it looking for loopholes. An old joke about a comedian that only a few of us remember, a guy named W.C. Fields, who was just a terrible human being. And they found him reading the Bible one day, and somebody said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Looking for loopholes." Don't read the Bible looking for loopholes. And don't just read the Bible looking for promises either, because I think that's gotten us in trouble. That we just read the book looking for promises, we're just looking for the thens and not the ifs. Because sometimes the Bible says, if you will do this, then this will happen. If you will hide God's Word in your heart, if you'll abide in me and let me abide in you, then ask what you will and it shall be done. And we do a whole lot of, I've been asking and I want this and I want that, and we haven't got the if part taken care of yet. It's conditional clauses in there. Don't just, Grandma had a promise box on the kitchen table and we'd pull it out. This is going to be a good day because the Bible, here's my promise right here. Everything I'm coming in and going out, I'm blessed in all these ways. And then we went out and we lied and cheated and slept with people and did all this stuff around and thought, well, how come God didn't bless me? Because the Bible says He's going to bless me, doesn't He? And God doesn't judge sin. Well, the Bible says God is love. He just loves everybody. He's just happy about everything, every way we behave and all that. That's not what the Bible says. Don't just look for the promises and don't look for the loopholes. Look for God's Word. Look for God in this book. You see, it's not just a story about Him. You'll encounter Him on the pages of this book. Read it to discover God and to discover God's truth and His commands and instruction for your life. Read it and pray as you read those passages. God, help me to live out what I just read, to obey what I'm reading in my life. When you read God's Word and you begin to build your life on it, that means you're obeying God's Word. You'll be building your life on something that will keep you through middle school and high school and college and through every journey and season of your life till He takes you to heaven. Commit to building your life and living your life in obedience to God's Word. It'll withstand any storm that the devil can throw at you or that life throws at you, but you have to know what the book says to be able to say, all right, I've got it. I've got it in my head and my heart. It's changing the way I live. It's changing my outlook. It's changing my understanding and my perspective, and it's going to change the way I treat other people. It will have an effect if we read and study God's Word. Pray, read God's Word. And then number three, rely upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would dwell within us and be with us. He said the Holy Spirit would convict us of sin. There's some stuff we don't want to resist the Holy Spirit's tug at our heart. He tugs at us and says, you know what, that's not pleasing to God. He convicts us of sin. He guides us into truth. Jesus said He'll teach you. He'll be your teacher and guide. He'll bring back to your remembrance the things that Jesus has said and that we've read in God's Word. He said He would testify of Jesus. The Holy Spirit would empower us and equip us to live godly lives. He would reproduce or would produce the character qualities of Christ within us, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-control, faith. He'll gift us and provide us with spiritual discernment that we need. He'll give us wisdom and knowledge, the insight we need to make godly and right choices in our life, in our business, in our school, in our relationships. Rely upon the Holy Spirit. Trust Him to lead you and guide you and direct your steps. I encourage you to open your heart to the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to fill your heart and life with the daily abiding presence of God through His Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord for an increased sensitivity to the voice and direction of the Holy Spirit. Just take a moment every day to say, Lord, I believe that You still speak to people by Your Holy Spirit. And I am asking You to lead me and guide me, and I want to be sensitive to listen to and respond to the voice and instruction of the Holy Spirit in my life today. I encourage you. Make 2014 a year of relying upon the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Open your heart to a renewed fellowship and a renewed experience with the Holy Spirit. If the talk about the Holy Spirit is new to you, I wrote a book 20 years ago, I guess, or something called The Personal Work of the Holy Spirit. And I hope there's copies out there at the information desk. Just tell them, I want to know about the Holy Spirit. And Pastor said you'd give me a book. And just tell them to give you a book. Read that book. If you've got questions, we'll answer them. If you've never experienced that baptism in the Holy Spirit that we talk about with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, don't be afraid of that. Just ask the Lord to baptize you. Open your heart to that spiritual empowerment and the blessings of that spiritual language that's given for prayer and worship. There's a building up of the faith. I just believe the Lord wants to pour His Holy Spirit out upon us in spiritual power and blessing, and we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives now as never before. And finally, this morning, the fourth word is relationships. God intends for us to be rightly related to Him through His grace, and then rightly related to others. For believers, He's made us a part of the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible takes all kinds of ways to describe the church. Another book I wrote years back, 98 or 9 or something, was called Without Spot or Wrinkle. It described, I don't know, a dozen ways of how the Bible talks about the church. I don't know if there's any copies of that available, but if we're going to handle everything that 2014 might throw at us and still be able to face the future with laughter, I'm just suggesting this morning we'll be a lot better off facing it with God's people, with the church. Now understand, the church, made up of Christians, well, we're not perfect. In fact, we're pretty far from that. And at times, since I've been a part of the church forever, at times we can be quirky. I love quirky. Eccentric, strange, weird, wired, obsessive, compulsive, a little harsh, judgmental. I've seen us church folks be selfish and proud, self-righteous and arrogant, vain and just downright ugly and mean. I've also seen us church folks be extraordinarily compassionate and merciful and forgiving and loving and caring and accepting and giving. We get it right sometimes and sometimes we don't. We take a lot of hits and we get a lot of blame for stuff. I read, I don't know if it was in the paper yesterday with Tony Campolo's interview or whether I read it in something else, but it was talking about, they mentioned Katrina yesterday? Yeah. And the fact that, you know, everybody was harping about George Bush and what happened, the government's response and Katrina and all that was wrong with that. But you know who responded? It was the evangelical churches that responded to Katrina. And a lot of those folk spent their time complaining. I don't want to just paint a broad brush about liberals or whatever, because we're all liberals or conservatives or something. But liberals that complained about, the government didn't do anything. It was the church. It was people from this church, in fact, that gave and loaded up a truck and went to New Orleans a couple of three times. And we got out there in the mud and the muck and swept it up and rebuilt and did all that stuff. It was the church. And so, yeah, we don't get it right all the time. It was the church. You heard the news guys in Moore saying, you can't count on the government, but it sure looks like the churches are responding in Moore to help those folk. It's what we do. Sometimes we get it right. And sometimes we don't because we're flawed. And it's because we're sinners saved by His great grace. And we're constantly, all of us, in need of that same mercy and forgiveness and grace. But as weird and as flawed as we are, and as, good Oklahoma word, as ornery and mean and judgmental as I've seen us be at times, I'd still rather line up on God's side with God's people. And as we see things growing more difficult, Scripture suggests we need to assemble together more often to encourage one another. Hebrews says, let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. I hate to watch a guy drink from a bottle. I'm not trying to tell you need to come to this building more often. Some of us are here every day. I'm trying to get you to recognize your need for relationships with God's people, because we're going to rely upon one another more and more, because the day is coming when there will be no one else upon whom we can rely. Remember, we're the body of Christ. Body means we're connected. We're interdependent members of one another. We're depending on one another. So we need one another. And I'll go ahead and tell you now that we, meaning the collective we, Carbondale Assembly of God, we probably won't be enough for some of you. And we won't rise to your expectation as a church family. But let's be honest, some of you probably won't rise to somebody else's expectation either. Because we're all still flawed. And quoting from, it is the year of laughter, quoting from another old veteran comedian, not W.C. Fields this time, but Groucho Marx, who said, I wouldn't join any club that would accept me as a member. And so, we had a pretty good church until all of us showed up. And then, then we get who we are right here. Because that's who we are. But how about we choose on working on building healthy relationships this year? How about each of us work on becoming a person upon whom others can rely? That word really struck me this past week. Am I reliable? Can other people rely on me? Can other people rely on you, friends and family and your friends at school and co-workers? Remember, Jesus said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life. What if we made 2014 a year of reliable service to others? What if 2014 became the year that we would purposefully relate to God's people, and not only to God's people, but we would purposefully relate to others to share the love of God and advance His kingdom? How good would that be to make this a year when we let other people know, you know what, you can rely on me. You can rely on me. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for you and really mean it and live it out. Because I think if we do that, there'll be a lot of reasons to celebrate and to laugh and to rejoice throughout a year. So get to know the people of God. Get to know the people you worship with. Get involved in the life of this church. Volunteer to be part of Team Carbondale. And be friendly and invite people and you know, walk, do whatever it is they need you to do. Be a part of this. Volunteer. We're gonna honor our volunteers next Sunday night. Everybody's invited to come and we'll feed you, and we're going to honor our volunteers next Sunday night. Hundreds of people in this church have volunteered throughout the year to do all kinds of things. Volunteer. Get involved in the church. And keep in mind, we're a pretty weird bunch. But what better way to experience a year of laughter than laughing along with a bunch of weirdos like us as we do life together and love Jesus together and love one another together and experience life. So, here we go. It's time to quit. With a heavenly outlook and biblically based knowledge and trust in a faithful God, we can pray and we can read God's Word and we can rely on the Holy Spirit and we can rely upon each other and face 2014 with laughter, with joy, with anticipation, with celebration and rejoicing. Because here's the deal. Whatever comes our way, we're going to laugh, we're going to rejoice, we're going to celebrate, we're going to rest in His timing, and we're going to trust in His grace. And 2014, here we come. Here we come. Let's stand together this morning. Amen. Would you just commit in your own heart this morning? And again, we're late for resolutions. By the 12th of January, most of us have already broken them. And they're scattered by the wayside of our first 12 days of the year. So I'm not asking you to make a plan. I'm going to read the Bible through in 2 months or whatever. Because you're not going to make it. I'm not going to ask you, everybody, to get up an hour early and pray or whatever. I'm going to ask you to read your Bible and study it, and I'm going to ask you to pray. And you're going to figure out how it's best to do that. And I'm going to ask you to make reliance upon the Holy Spirit a hallmark of your heart. And I'm going to ask you to commit to building relationships. Those people you hurry past to get the lunch today will maybe stop and shake hands this time. Well, they never talk to me. Well, go up and talk to them. Remember, I'm giving you permission to be weird. Not obnoxious, well, obnoxious too, some of it. Anyway, just go for it. Just go for it. Well, I feel funny talking to those people. Oh, it's a year of laughter. Maybe they need a good laugh. Go over and talk to them. I don't know. I'm just asking you to step out here. And that we're going to make 2014 the year God has for it to be. I believe it's going to be a good year. I believe He's got some good things in store. Oh, there'll be heartbreak and there'll be goodbyes. There already are. But God's going to be so faithful. Here's what I know. I don't know. Most days I don't know if I'm coming or going. But I know God's going to be faithful. And I know He honors His Word. And I know if we pray and read His Word and trust Him and rest in Him and relate to one another, it's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year. So Lord, I give You this church, all of us, all we are. And we declare it today, Lord, that whatever comes our way this year, we're going to enter it with the outlook of believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, confident that You're walking with us. We're going to enter this year confident of that knowledge that we have through Your Word, and that You want to continue to impart knowledge and insight to us through Your Word and by Your Spirit. That we enter it full of trust. We're old enough, all of us in here, from the youngest to the oldest, we're all old enough to be able to say, I know I can trust Him because He's been good to me. And so we trust You, Lord, and we commit to You today that this will be a year when we focus our hearts toward You in prayer and to study your word, and not just to read it, to understand it, to know it, but to live it, to obey your word, to lean hard and heavy upon the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, abide with us and lead us and guide us through this year in faithful ways into the purpose and plan of God. And Lord, help us to build strong relationships that we can depend on one another. Lord, let it start with me, with all of us, that we can say, Lord, I want to be reliable in the kingdom of God. I want to be faithful and steadfast so others can say, yeah, you can rely on that woman. You can rely on her. You can rely on him. They'll be loyal and they'll be faithful. They'll be steadfast and true. Let it be said of us, Lord. And whatever comes our way, we're going to laugh and rejoice and celebrate and give thanks and rest in your timing and trust in your grace throughout this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. His great grace and blessing be upon you. Thanks for being here today. Greet those around you. And we'll see you tonight for life group here or life groups around the city. Be honored. Be blessed.